It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. To film or not to film, cameras in the courtroom have been a controversial subject. Earlier this week, in the midst of discussing the sentencing of Jodi Arias, Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery talked about how huge a media circus had been created by people eager to be on hand for the trial's verdict because so many of them had watched the case unfold on television. Many observers are concerned that filming in the courtroom also makes it difficult to choose unbiased jurors. And what about the U.S. Supreme Court? Why don't we see the justices in action? Joining me to talk about the pros and cons and challenges of cameras in the courtroom are Nancy Martyr, professor of law at IIT Chicago Kent College of Law and author of the article The Conundrum of Cameras in the Courtroom. And with me in studio in Phoenix is Melissa Ho, shareholder in the law firm Polsinelli. Welcome to you both. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you.
Melissa, let me start with you. You have experience as a defense attorney. Give us a little bit of your background there and what your biggest concerns are about cameras in the courtroom.
Absolutely. As a defense attorney, my main concern is the presumption of innocence that should be afforded to every individual, as well as corporate defendant we have that is paraded in front of the media. I use the word paraded only because when we have our initial appearances or if we have a pretrial conference, that's an opportunity for the media to come in, frame their shot in an edited manner that could fairly or unfairly portray my client in a way that leaves their ability to defend themselves in a jury trial encumbered or hindered because people have already decided that there must be something afoot. So they lose their ability to maintain their innocence in some respect when there are cameras in the courtroom.
How often are you surprised by media interest in a particular case?
You would be surprised at how many times I've been in a courtroom where I am told by the prosecutor who notices that that there is a camera because a small paper or now it may even be a blogger who has shown an interest in a particular case, one that is not necessarily what we would consider traditionally high profile. So a traditional high profile is something that might be salacious, lots of sex, a violent crime. We've had cases that are just of local community or neighborhood interest that I frankly never thought anyone from the media would pick up on. And before you know it, there's been a request to the courtroom. And on balance, the judge has decided, sure, we'll allow it.
Nancy, you've studied this issue for a number of years. Are there certain pros and cons to this that are overblown? Are there some that aren't talked about enough?
Well, I think there are some that are not talked about enough. And there are differences on the trial level, the appellate level, and the Supreme Court level. The trial level, which we were just talking about, I worry about witnesses and jurors, and of course the defendant. And while a lot of states have rules that you can't show, for example, jurors' faces, sometimes mistakes are made. And it makes it harder to get people to participate as jurors, to participate in the process when they have yet another responsibility. And I worry about audiences as well, because they think they've seen the trial from the perspective of the juror, when in fact they haven't. And of course, I worry about in criminal trials, the fairness to the defendant, as Melissa was pointing out, that there's a rush to judgment, and that can be very hard to escape down the road. So these are some of the concerns. On the other side, people speak about the education that it provides and the opportunity to see what's going on in the courtroom. And while education is important, there are lots of ways to get that education, not just through cameras.
Nancy, let me follow up a bit on perhaps audience expectations, because this is certainly not a new thing, but a number of years ago, there was a lot of conversation about the so-called CSI effect, this feeling that jurors wanted everything to be, oh, there's DNA evidence for everything. Does that fall on the judicial system to move past what expectations are for jurors or for observers? Should we expect more from jurors? I know it's hard to get a jury as it is, but should jurors have to be more prepared in terms of what knowledge they bring to a courthouse?
Well, jurors do have to be prepared to do their job, but we are already asking them to do quite a lot, and we have all sorts of difficulties getting citizens to serve as jurors and getting a broad swath of the community to serve. So as we add more burdens, we make it harder for a wide range of people to serve. And so the point is that there's a cost to asking for cameras in the courtroom. And that might mean you lose out on jurors who might otherwise be willing to serve, and you might lose on witnesses who are appearing but who are also feeling an extra burden.
Melissa, follow up on that, would you?
I would say that part of the duties of the attorneys is to ferret out biases and to ferret out, I think, some of these false assumptions that our system is equipped to handle or provide the CSI, the full CSI effect. At the end of the day, that's why we have jury instructions, and that's why we have the ability to do, the voir dire, where we interview the witnesses and we ask them, what is your understanding of what this case is about, and try to develop and tease out some of the presumptions that they may be working off of, and that way we evaluate, are they a suitable candidate for this jury? Just because they want to serve doesn't mean that every person should serve. That's a concept that a lot of people don't talk about, because it's presumed, well, everyone should serve. It's their citizen's duty. But certainly, as an attorney in a courtroom dealing with trials, there are lots of people I would appreciate as hardworking, upstanding citizens that I may not want on this jury panel, because they have told me truthfully they're going to carry a bias against my client that they cannot set aside.
Mm. Now, as a practicing attorney, are you concerned about people playing to the cameras, including attorneys and judges?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think the reality is that people will act differently when they feel that they are being recorded, and that extends to even whether or not they are being visibly recorded. I think, our courtroom, particularly the South Court Tower, I mean, it's an electronic courtroom. To think for a second that you're not being audio recorded, I think everyone knows that. But it's amazing how differently people stand and sit and project when there's a visible camera. Even at the presence of a visible recording equipment versus just the knowledge that they're being recorded, people act differently.
Nancy, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. And even though we don't have very many empirical studies showing the difference in behavior, I think that most people, when they've been interviewed on television, for example, they feel differently than when they're just speaking informally in their home. And so there are differences in behavior, even if we haven't managed to pinpoint them or document them through rigorous empirical study. I should add that the Federal Judicial Center is doing a study 3 years now, extended to a fourth year, to see how cameras in federal district courts, what kind of effects they have. And the Federal Judicial Center is a very good research arm of the judiciary. So we might actually have some good information.
Nancy, I'm going to start with you and ask a very cynical question, which is, are we on a slippery slope here where if we don't come up with better ideas, that the jury system is going to be tainted in such a way that we're going to have so few people who actually can serve on juries, it's going to get worse, we're going to have more and more backup of cases?
Well, I write and teach about the jury, so I'm a believer in the jury system. Okay. And I think what happens is, even though it is difficult to get people to serve, what you see if you observe a trial in the courtroom is that there is this transformation that takes place. When citizens walk in, they don't want to serve. As they sit through voir dire, they do want to serve. And when they are selected for the jury, they want to perform their duty as responsibly as possible. And so there is an education that goes on in the courtroom that doesn't go on anywhere else. And so I really believe that we are getting good jurors and good juries, and so I'm not cynical at all.
Melissa, what's your perspective?
I agree. I think the jury process is vital to our concept of justice. And the challenge, if any at all, is not really the challenge for the jurors themselves. It's really on the courts and on the attorneys to protect those jurors. And really, I think it's a good point now for, I think, members of those practicing the law or associated with the courts to reach out to our friends in the media and in journalism to ask them to be mindful of some of that glare that comes on to a jury post-trial. Because it's not even during the trial that I worry. It's you look at high-profile cases and you look at the scrutiny that is then placed on that jury, depending on if they find guilt or innocence. There's always someone who is unhappy with that decision. And the pressures they feel, really just asking for input from, members of the of our friends in journalism. How do we help make sure that the proper information is being disseminated, but how are we doing that in a way that's respectful to this panel that just spent their time considering, the facts and the evidence presented before them?
And as Nancy mentioned, people at home watching on TV think they have all the facts and all the evidence, and they don't. It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. A few more minutes left in our conversation with Melissa Ho, shareholder in the law firm Polsinelli, and Nancy Marder, professor of law at IIT Chicago, Kent College of Law, and author of the article, The Conundrum of Cameras in the Courtroom. Nancy, before we go, I want to ask a little bit about the impact of social media and how that has changed things, not just cameras, but folks being able to tweet and go on Facebook in the midst of this activity.
I think it is a serious problem, and courts are beginning to address it. The challenge is making jurors aware that the kind of access and frequency with which they speak using email, Twitter, blogging, that they cannot do that while serving as a juror about the jury trial, and that it is so important to the defendant's right to a fair trial and to limiting to just what they've been shown or heard during the trial, to relying on that evidence only. And I think courts are beginning to reach out and to educate jurors and to do it in a very explicit way, but that is a growing problem, and jurors have to be really persuaded that this is serious and that it goes along with jury duty, that you have to stop your ordinary ways of communicating about the trial and just talk to your fellow jurors during deliberation.
Melissa, please.
There is so much misinformation that can be communicated at lightning speed now. Even the recaps that are presented after a day in court. I mean, all sorts of misinformation, and before you know it, it's trending either on Twitter or on Facebook. And it's up to those of us in the system to educate the jurors that while you are serving, that this very important part of your daily life has to be suspended somewhat, and it's not a curtailment of free speech. It's a respect for the process and understanding that the reason we take the time to go through a jury trial is so that we can vet the evidence, because facts in some respects, even though we call them facts, are subjective. It's how is it presented, from whom's from which perspective are we looking at things from, and having instantaneous information at your disposal or dissemination is hugely dangerous because it hasn't been vetted, and therefore it doesn't have a place in the jury trial.
Melissa Ho is a shareholder in the law firm Polsinelli. Nancy Marder is professor of law at IIT Chicago, Kent College of Law, author of the article, The Conundrum of Cameras in the Courtroom. We just barely touched on this topic, but I appreciate you both. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Still to come on Here and Now, we'll find out why young leaders are breaking up with Phoenix, and later this hour, what it's like to live with wolves. Stay tuned.